This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a guest with us, Sean McCloskey. How are you, Sean?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. So just a quick bio on Sean. Sean is often referred to as the coach's coach. He's a real estate investor, author, and nationally recognized speaker. Sean coaches high-caliber business owners, national speakers, and coaches across the country. When he's not out changing lives and helping others to grow their businesses and visions, he can be found in his hometown of St. Louis with his wife and three children. He loves playing the guitar and singing in a band for fun. His personal and business motto is give first, which is evident in the coaching programs and personal interactions. So again, Sean, thanks for joining us. Why don't you get started by telling us how this all got started? How it all got started?
Oh man, I couldn't have planned this if I tried, but basically started in the corporate world for many years, worked my way up the corporate ladder to realize my ladder was up against the wrong wall. And, liked a lot of it, learned a lot, and got into business for myself back in the real estate game in 2003. Flipped a few hundred houses and then started to get a bunch of people asking me to help them do it. And my first year in business, as I started coaching my first couple of people, one of my guys, made more money than he'd ever made in his life. And the second year he got divorced, and it's like, I helped him get there. You know, I was teaching him how to run a business that, same as me, I was working 70, 80 hours a week back then. And so was he. And I'm not going to take credit for his divorce, at least I hope not. But I was teaching him how to make business a priority because that's what I was doing. And so over the years, my gosh, there's been so much that's morphed. And so, today I run a company called Leadership Boardroom. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs all over the country, business owners, speakers, people who run national coaching organizations. And I try to impact the leaders so that they can make an impact with their teams and the people that follow them. And quite frankly, to get back to what's important, which is personal vision, business vision. And what I've found is most people don't have either of those. If they do, if they've ever done any vision work whatsoever, it's not really dialed in. And most people's lives get the back seat for what's left over when all the business is done, which, as you and I know, is never finished. The to-do list is never down to zero. And so I just try to help people get back to what their priorities in life, what they said they wanted them to be before they made work the priority all the time. That's about as fast as I can wrap up, 20 years worth of being in business.
No, and we appreciate that. We were one of your students and appreciate the friendship and, the time that the year we spent with you and working with you. And so I have a ton of questions to ask you on this podcast and get into it. But just for the listeners, can you dive a little deeper? Explain how Leadership Boardroom is set up, how it's run. What makes you guys different than most masterminds out there? And then I would love to get some dive deeper into the vision part of it as well. But just like some high level, what's Leadership Boardroom, and then what makes you guys different?
Well, so a couple of things, and I will make all of this relevant to your listeners, so it's just not stuff here to tell us about your life and what you do. This is all very relevant to all of us as entrepreneurs and business owners, and even just people who live life and have jobs. We help people identify two things. Number one, figure out what the heck you want your personal life to look like. And then number two, figure out what you want your business life to look like so that it honors the first one. And it's like, that sounds really simple. It's not so simple. Well, let me correct that. It can be simple. It's not easy to pull off,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
And you got all these aspects of life that you want to live and experience and become. And then you've got this business that's supposed to be funding all of your life stuff to have happen. But, so many entrepreneurs get into business with that expectation. And it's like one day when the business does really well, then I'll get to have a life. And they sacrifice 5, 10, 15, sometimes their entire life in the effort to get there. So, what I created was a coaching and mastermind environment where all the people are on those similar paths. We're committed to figuring out what do we want our personal lives to look like first and foremost. And that sounds simple until you sit down and start doing it. It's not easy. And then what type of business would we need to create that would get us out of bed every day. Not where you got to get out of bed yourself. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between getting out of bed because you're so excited to jump into your day versus getting out of bed, moping your way over to the shower, getting ready and doing your daily grind. Those are two completely different lives. And so how do you figure out what your role in that business looks like so that you can love what you do for business and it makes really good money to fund all of the stuff that you say you want your life to be about too? So I coach a lot of high-level entrepreneurs, and then we mastermind together 3 times a year because I get these small groups together. Most masterminds today, what I found is, you know, there's 100 or 200 people in a room, and that's not the original purpose of a mastermind, according to the Think and Grow Rich books, which was where I learned about it first many years ago. A mastermind is a small group of people that are people who are pushing each other gently and lovingly, and sometimes not so gently, to move forward towards a common goal. And so our common goal is live our personal visions, live our business visions. We've got 15 people in the room that help each other do that, and a coach who runs it. I now have 5 coaches that operate under Leadership Boardroom also. So we're not a huge organization by any means, but the impacts that this make on the people and then the message that they share out from there, the idea is to make a pretty big impact with one little pebble in the pond, if you know that.
Yeah,
that sort of metaphor. But that's what we're about, man. So, you know, a lot of masterminds will sit here and show you how to 10x your business. That's great if that's your vision. But for most people, what I found is that there's these sexy keywords like scaling and, you know, growth and all these that sound really crazy, but it's not for everyone. It's not everyone's vision, but these are some of the hip words today that everybody thinks they want, but not everybody actually wants that. So I help them figure out what it is that they actually want and then come up with a game plan on how the heck you're going to get there.
Yeah. And it's so true. And definitely scaling and bigger is not always better. And I think that's right. One thing that you, you helped us figure out. And I remember one of the first conversations that you had, you like challenged us you know, you're asking us our goals, and at that time it's very, very business focused and very business driven. It was like, you know, we want to hit this many deals next year. And you're like, why? Why do you need to do that many houses? Why do you need to do that volume? You know, and there was not a really good answer other than, well, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You did 150 last year. Let's do 200 this year.
You know, and it's sexy.
but it comes with a lot of stress and a lot of other things that come with it that don't always aren't the things that you're trying to accomplish either in your personal life or sometimes in your business life. So I think that was big.
I'm glad you said that real quick, Sean. Perfect example of that. Some of the guys and gals in the real estate space that I know that are going through, and let's say they're flipping 200 houses a year, they're actually making less than some of the guys and gals I know that are flipping 20.
Yeah.
It's like you start getting bigger and now you need more staff and more overhead and you're doing more marketing to keep that momentum going. And that's not a bad thing if that's what you want. But to your point, just because you're doing more doesn't mean it's better. You want to work on doing more, why don't you create more margins before you grow to scale more? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, have you maximized profit on all the business stuff that you're already doing before you go try to add a whole bunch more to what you're already doing? And usually when I start digging deep, the answer to that's no. They haven't maximized what they're at, but it sounds sexy to do more.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Not always ready answer.
Yeah. So I know, can you explain, I think there's power in this small groups that you put together and you're very intentional on how you, I think, put the people together or the people that you accept into a room and good relationships, good friend, people we still know today and same sphere of influence. But how do you go about doing that? Like how you pick those environments for certain people and then how is a small group like that holding everybody accountable so important for both personal growth and business?
Question.
Yeah.
That's a vision question. And I love it because here's what I will tell you. I love my business and how it's structured today. And every single person in my coaching and mastermind groups, I love them. I would have them to my home. They're friends of mine. We vacation together, all of these things. And it was not always like that. As a matter of fact, if I look back about 6-7 years ago, there was a time where I almost quit doing all of this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I didn't like the model or coach coaching or working with people, I was working with some people that didn't fit who I wanted to work with. And I'm going to tell you, man, that's a vision problem. I didn't have a vision for exactly who I wanted to work with, exactly who I wanted to help, how I was going to help them, who is the perfect customer, who should never be a customer. Hmm. And what I was doing is the typical thing that most entrepreneurs do. If it's going to make money, I'm going to say yes to it. And so I have a vision for even the type of clientele that I want to work with. Take the real estate world with this. You know, most people would sit here and tell you, no, I know what kind of deals I'm going to go after. Well, is it in writing? Are you very specific and crystal clear with it? And do you have something to, if you, an opportunity comes your way, do you have a document now that you can sort of pre-screen this opportunity and say, does it fit all, not some, not most of the aspects of your vision, does it fit all of them? The type of clients that you work with is a really important one, because if I would have woke up 7 years ago, there were times when I didn't look forward to talking to certain students. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. You know?
Hopefully we weren't one of them. Yeah.
No, not you guys. No, you guys weren't. I've always looked forward to your conversations.
Good.
However, there was one lady I used to work with, for example, that was uncoachable, would talk the whole time, never listen to any feedback, never do anything we talked about, had a business that did not excite me at all, but she had been a paying customer for a couple of years, and I, quite frankly, I'm going to sound like a jerk with this, but I did not like working with her.
Yeah.
And it's not because she's a bad human being. She's fine. It's just I can't help her. I don't feel like I'm making an impact. She doesn't listen to anything anyway. So when I would do a coaching call with her, I would sit there and listen for 45 minutes, and I would say, thank God, time's up. We got to go. And she'd say, thank you for your help, and I didn't do anything. And that's not fun for me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but today, so I came up with this vision of, who's my ideal customer? Who have I worked with in the past that I didn't feel like I was working? What are their characteristics? And I put all of that in one column. I literally wrote people's names down. And I put, what were the characteristics of them that made me love working with them? Well, first of all, they're coachable. They had businesses that excited me. They implemented the things that we talked about. Maybe they needed some help in areas that I felt like I was qualified enough to help them. All of these things. Then I came up with a middle category of people that, like, we're just okay to work with. And I came up with their names, and I was like, what are their characteristics? Why did I just kind of enjoy working with them, but not really? And then who are the people that sucked the life out of me, right? Mm. You know, I didn't mention this before, but that woman, when I knew something had to change, I was on a coaching call with her one time. I hate to admit this. I fell asleep on the call, and I woke up, I don't know if it was 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later, and she was still talking.
Yeah.
And she didn't even know that I fell asleep. And I was like, I want to kill myself right now. I don't care how much she's paying me. I can't take this anymore. And so from then, that's where this vision came from. Today, I only work with the people who are in the I love them category. And I'm going to tell you, man, the difference in how much I enjoy what I do today is night and day. I literally hang out with people who I consider my closest friends on earth. I help them with their stuff. I put them in small rooms with other people that I love that much, so they all love each other. And it's the coolest thing I've ever seen, and I get paid for it. I can't even ever fathom getting paid for something so much fun in my life, all because it started with a vision.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, that didn't happen overnight, but that's how this vision stuff works. You get to decide whoever you want to work with. You can. You don't have to just take a deal or money from somebody just because it's dough. You might need to for a very, very short period of time just to eat, but you don't have to do that long term, man. There's plenty of people out there that fit into that category that are dying for an environment like this. All I had to do is learn how to market, find those people, turn that into a business, and then you wake up every day just pulling you out of bed. Does that make sense? And I'm rambling on.
Yes.
No, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I know building a vision, you know, it is kind of your strength and focus, right? Define how you say life on your terms, and building a business that really caters to your life vision. Can you kind of go more in deeper on that?
Yeah, so I have this little tool that I give people called the Wheel of Life. It's just a little wheel, and there's about 11 different categories on the wheel. And these are things like friendships and finances and your love of life and your kids maybe, and you know, all these different categories of life. And I ask people to rate themselves on the wheel on a 0 to 10. Where do you fit according to what your definition of a 10 is? And so I see these. I just did this. I taught an event last week, a 3-day event. And I walked around the room, I see all these people filling this out. Of course, all these wheels are completely lopsided. You know, it's like maybe business for this person was in at 8 and finances were at a 4 and maybe, you know, friendships were at a 2. And what's interesting is to see entrepreneurs, there's a fun category, like how much of your life is actually fun. It was interesting to see a lot of zeros and ones and threes and stuff like that. So is that what you want, you know? And so the vision can be simplified in its simplest form as you identifying what does each of these categories look like as a level 10. That's it. So the Wheel of Life does two things. It gives you a snapshot of where you are today in your vision. But more than anything, people think that that's just a gauge of where you are today. What you really should do is sit down and literally write out in each category, what does a level 10 look like? If I could have anything I wanted, I can make up anything I want. This level 10 mind can look different than yours in health, let's say, or in family life, or in love life, or what would a level 10 look like for me? And write it out. Don't just stick it in here. This is what people do all the time, and they get off track, or they change their mood next week. So you get it in writing. That is your vision. That's your personal vision. And so, again, simple. Not easy, but simple. Yeah. Anybody can write out what a level 10 looks like in a few categories. You know, the challenge is, can you dream without filters? And oh my gosh, that's a whole other story. So for example, a filter might be like, man, I'd love to be in shape. I'd love to be healthy. But a filter might be like, yeah, but gosh, that requires me to work out 17 hours a day and eat healthy all the time. Those are filters. And so what I've noticed is people stop dreaming because they have so many filters on what it's going to take to get there. Their engineer brain starts to kick in before they've even dreamt up the idea. You know, so that's what I help people get out of also. But, you know, it's really just identifying what's a level 10. What does a level 10 life look like? And not just in life in general, like in these specific categories. So, you know, that would be a great start. Without having to come spend 3 days at one of my events, you know what I mean?
Well, I highly recommend that, and we'll get into that, and you can share what stuff you have coming up. But we would highly recommend people getting involved with you and learning. I have a personal question, and I want, and this is on air, and so we'll you could tear me apart. I'm cool with it. I'm vulnerable, but the. After working, I know, like, there were some great things that came out of, you know, the time we spent together. And I know, you know, I started taking Fridays off and, we kind of fell into a rut. I went back, I had trouble and I think it was, and I'm trying to like process it and understand it, but I think it was a little bit of identity, you know? So I ended up,
probably, sorry, did you say a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. So I lost myself. I created my vision, did all this stuff, and I felt like I lost myself. And it was because like all I knew was driving and working, and my parents are very workaholic. So I think I was raised in an environment that's what you do. You take care of your family and all that, and that was my culture, my identity, going back to childhood. So when this idea of taking my, you know, foot off the pedal a little bit, you know, putting my head up and looking, okay, like truly what do I want? What makes me happy and all that? I it was a weird stage in my life, caused. And it was all good. So can you like maybe provide some insight? Cause I can't be the only one that's ever done that, but you know, it's going through this process of okay, defining your vision and your personal vision, and then and you know there's areas that you want to improve on outside of just work, but then losing yourself finding that and I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. Like yeah.
Yeah. No man, you're the only one who's ever done that. No, I mean this is a common challenge. I mean and this is where it's like I ask people all the time, are you living your vision or are you living somebody else's, including could be your parents? Mm-hmm. You know, do you believe all the things that you've been taught, or it's just, you're just so used to it that that's ingrained now in who you are? And who are you really? I mean, that's such a cheesy goofball question. Who? Just tell me who you are. It's like, but do you even have a clue? Let's take a workaholic, for example. Mm-hmm. Take away work for a second. Who are you without work? Can you even answer that? You know, and I'm not expecting you to answer that here. I'm saying that for somebody who is used to building, and then if they aren't aren't able to, you know, what do you do with that? What do you want out of life besides that? That's not always an easy question to answer when it's been ingrained in you since a kid that you're supposed to perform and, you know, you have to reach certain thresholds and constantly be growing. All that stuff can be good, but if it's your identity, I would argue, you know, I've coached a lot of people over the last 17 years. I've coached a lot of people who work is their identity. Mm-hmm. And if that is your only identity, it's not something that people reach at the end of their life and are real fulfilled about. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what is your identity? Do you even know? Have you even taken the time to sit down and ask yourself these questions? What do I want out of life? Or are you just so busy building because that's what you've been used to? Here, I built a company over the course of 8 years that you guys were involved in. And when I sold my ownership in that company, I went through a little bit of identity crisis too, because I had spent, let's say, 8-9 years building this particular brand. I spoke all over the country at these huge events. I had made a name for myself and for the company. That when that was no longer my thing, mm-hmm. it was no longer attached to me. I went through a period of about a year where it was all, I wouldn't say it was full-blown depression because I didn't get that far, but it was like, well, if I'm not that guy promoting that company and promoting that specific message, who the hell am I? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I had to almost reinvent myself at that point. I think that happens to a lot of people. I noticed my father, you know, was in the military for 20-plus years in the Army, and he was always taught work, 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 and then someday you'll be rewarded, and so that's what he did. And then when he got into civilian life, he did work, 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 and it always, wasn't always rewarded. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a whole year he spent working. I didn't even know you could work more than 100 hours a week, but he was working more than 100 hours a week. And so many hours, in fact, that he would, it was about 15-minute drive away from the house. It was better for him to stay at the office and sleep on the couch, because then he could get 30 minutes more sleep, the drive to home and the drive back. That way he could sleep 30 more minutes. And that was in the year of his 52nd year of his life, when he was 53, he died. Christmas Day, 53 years old. And all of the stuff that he claimed he was doing it for never came to fruition. So it didn't even work. Which, by the way, there's no guarantees that the whole business stuff is going to work. So if your identity is wrapped up in your business, good luck if the market changes and that's taken from you. Mm-hmm. Or good luck if you wake up one day and say, one day when this succeeds, then I'm going to live life. What if you never see that day? You know, my father didn't see that day. Yeah. And so all of that crap that he was taught, did he really believe it, or did he just get taught that by his parents, by the military, by all of his surroundings? Here's one thing I will tell you he didn't do, and I can't ask him now because he's no longer around. One thing I know for sure is he didn't sit there on his deathbed and think, man, I should have worked more. Because mm-hmm. no one does. They do think, I wish I would have taken more risks. I wish I wouldn't have been so fearful. They do think things like that. But nobody says, I wish I would have worked instead of 70 hours a week. I wish I would have worked 80. No one thinks that. They think, I wish I would have had better relationships. I wish I would have tried those hobbies I always wanted to try but never made time for. They do things like that often. I wish I would have found things that were more fulfilling. I wish I would have told this person I loved them. You know, those are the types. I don't want to wake up one day and go, man, I have regrets around those things. So now I also want to make lots of money. So and I can do that, but not one at the risk of the other. Last thing I'll say about that before I move on. My father would have told you, I'm doing all this for my family. This is what a lot of men say. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this so that I can provide for my family. He never asked us what we wanted. Mm-hmm. Not once. And I'll tell you why that's important. I spoke at Yale University a few years back, and I have the master's degree program. They're all focused on me. I get them for like a half a day, right? One of the questions I asked, speaking to Yale, now who knows who's in the room? Could be future presidents, could be corporation owner. Who knows who's in there in the room? But it's the MBA master's degree program at Yale, so it's a pretty intimate group of people. And I asked them, how many of you in this room have parents that are powerful people? They're either powerful politically, business-wise, they're wealthy, something along those lines. Every single hand in the room went up. It's like, interesting. I said, how many of you, if you had a choice, well, first of all, how many of you in here, your parents worked a lot of hours? Every single hand went up in the room. I said, if given a choice, how many of you would have rather have all the stuff that you have and the status and the money and all those things, or if you had a choice, how many of you would have rather picked a little bit more time with mom and dad if you could choose? Almost every hand, except for maybe one or two people, went up saying, I wish I would have had more time with my parents. I'd never asked this in a room before. I'd never been in a room like this before, and so I was blown away. And so I looked at the one of the girls who did not raise her hand, and I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. And I said, you didn't raise your hand saying that you would have chosen, so you would have chosen more stuff over more time with your parents? And she said, yep. And I said, can you explain to me why that is? And she goes, because I hate my parents. Mm-hmm. We never spend any time together. I don't want any more time with them. As a matter of fact, I don't want to ever see them again in my life. I thought, okay, well, no wonder you don't want more time. You hated them to begin with, right? And why did you? Because you were never the focus of them. And so, you know, I looked at that. I'm like, these are some of the most potentially successful people in the world. They're at Yale freaking University. And none of their parents asked them what they want. So that might be an important conversation to have. If you say you're doing it for your family, are you really? Or is it really for you? So that you can make sure you meet your own ego needs. So that you can say you have a bigger portfolio, so you can do bigger deals, more deals. At least be honest. At least be honest and say, nope, this is for me because I want to build my ego, and so I'm willing to sacrifice everything else that I said was important to me in an effort to attain it. I can respect that, but don't give me some BS lie that says you're doing it for your family when you haven't even asked them what they want.
That's very powerful. And I think, and it's something that I think Joni and I, especially after working with you, and our kids were young at the time, I think, when we that year we spent with you, and that was I don't think I would have found that necessarily with my son, but when we had our daughter, definitely she opened my eyes, and I think a girl can change dad's lies significantly. And so that's something that I think that exactly we really cherish the time. And if you were to ask, I think we've asked our kids before a couple of times, and that's all they want is time. The money really doesn't matter. But the I wasn't gonna ask.
Well, real quick, that's one thing that people say. They use that as the reason not to experience life too. They go, well,
yeah.
I have a friend of mine many years ago, he goes, well, I said, you've never taken your family on vacation since I've known you. And he goes, well, we've been saving up for like the last 3 or 4 years. I'm going to take him to Disney. And he had little kids at the time. And I said, but how much does it cost you to go to Disney? And he's like, well, with all the kids we have and traveling down, even if we drive and everything, it's going to be 10, 12 grand to go to Disney. And I said, man, camping is $8. Like, I know that you can't afford to go to Disney yet, but you can afford to go camping this weekend. And that's, the kids don't care if it's Disney versus camp. As a matter of fact, I've got 3 kids. We took them all to Disney last year. It was the most stupid, expensive trip I've ever taken in my life. And you know what? I asked them what their favorite trip on Earth was. If they could choose again, would they go to Disney or would they go? We did a trip the year before, a month-long trip in our RV in the mountains of Colorado. We hiked every day. We played games. We did all this simple stuff. You know, my kids said that they loved the camping trip just as much, if not more, than they love Disney. Yes, and the camping trip, Disney, we were gone for 6 days. The camping trip, we were gone for 30 days. I didn't work for 30 whole days. No phone calls, no work, no emails, no nothing. I'd never done that before in my life. In 30 days, we spent roughly 15% of the cost that it took to go to Disney for less than a week. And they had just as much fun with that. And that included fuel in an RV and staying at nice RV resorts and all kinds of stuff. It was still nothing compared to this. And they had just as much fun.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that you can't live life today because you don't have enough money.
Yeah.
That might be partially true, but it is not the truth, you know?
Yeah.
So, right, we actually took a month off ourselves. And actually, it was because of you when we went through your we took an entire month off. And that's exactly what we went backpacking. You know, and we also went to Hawaii, and we went somewhere else. But the one thing that they remember was the backpacking trip. They loved it. But it was because Sean and I, we didn't have phones, we didn't have emails.
Yep.
It was just totally like one-on-one time with them, and they absolutely loved it.
To your point, I'll challenge anybody listening to this podcast. You want to see if your identity is wrapped up in your business? Try to take a month off. See what happens.
Yeah.
Tell me if this happened with you guys. about 2 weeks into it, I almost had a panic attack because I wasn't working and I had never taken that much time off. I'm like, I don't know what to do. If I have two weeks off, and no one's calling me. I asked all my students, don't call me while I'm gone, and they honored it. And then I'm like, but no one needs me, and I'm not needed, and I'm going to come back, and my business is going to be ruined. Like, you want to talk about realizing your identity is wrapped up in business. Oh, my gosh, man. Take a month off. You'll figure that out real fast.
Yeah.
And it's more us. Yeah. Yeah. I was having like panic attacks or like withdrawals, you know? And so it was bad. So like fidgeting for my phone, you know, it was bad, but
did it take you the first, for most people that take that kind of time off, most people when they go on vacation, they go on a 4 day long weekend.
Yeah.
For entrepreneurs that are in their business all the time like this, here's what I found. It takes 3 to 4 days just to relax enough to get present again.
Correct. Yeah. And
three to four days.
Yeah.
That gives you a sign of how busy you're trying to go all the time and all of it. And by the way, I should also mention, and you guys may have experienced this too, at the end of 3 days, I looked at all the things I was getting ready to implement in my business before I left. Like 90% of them at the end of 30 days, I didn't care about them anymore. I was like, I don't even want to do that. Why was I doing that? Because I thought I had to, or because that's what I thought the growth would come. I don't even care about 90% of these things. I changed everything when I got back. It's like amazing what happens when you just chill for a minute.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurs will tell you that that's not productive time. It is absolutely productive time. It is the most productive thing I did that year.
The biggest thing too was when in preparation, because we took 6 months to prepare for it. So meaning anything that was that was catered to Joni and I or that we were involved in, we had to figure out a process for it. But the once we delegated all that, honestly, like majority of the people could do a lot better job than I was doing. And I thought I was the one that had to do it. And
that's an ego check too.
I know.
Yeah, wait a minute. They really don't need me.
That's a good feeling though at the same time. But the if you were some questions we ask all our guests is if you were going to start out and starting over in business, what advice would you give them? Let's just take this. So somebody wants to start their own business, become an entrepreneur, what advice would you give them starting today?
Oh man, I would say two things. Number one, get your personal and business vision crystal clear. Obviously I've been talking about that this whole time. Mm-hmm. Number two, make sure that anybody, first of all, I'm a huge fan of coaching, mirroring, modeling, finding somebody who's already paved the way and copying most of what they've done. However, you got to be real careful with that, because the guy that I started mirroring and modeling in business taught me how to make a business that was just as awful as his. And as a matter of fact, I was about 3 years into my relationship with him, and I got a phone call from him one day where he explained to me, you know, he and I were really good friends at that point. So at that point, we talked about everything together. And he said, man, today was the worst and best day of my life. Made $950,000 today. And I was like, wow, pretty good day. And he goes, and also, my wife called me in the hotel that I'm at, because I haven't been traveling, speaking all over the country. I've been home in months. And my wife said, when you get home, the house is empty. Do whatever you want with it. Me and your son are moving on with our lives. You're never here. You say you're doing it for us. And we are, if I looked at your calendar, we are not your priority at all. And so I'm leaving. And the decision's been made and it's finished and there's nothing you can do about it. And he cried with me on the phone. And I was like, wow, man. And I'm learning how to run a business from this guy. Like, I was modeling everything he was doing. And so I didn't have my own vision to filter any of that stuff through at the time. I was doing it because I wanted to be coachable, and I saw him as a success story. And by the way, I saw only a portion of him. I didn't see all of what his life really looked like, and so I was trying to model everything. And had I continued down that model, I would have done the exact same thing as him. I was already building the exact same thing as him. So no wonder I was starting to hate my business. And so vision. Find somebody who is in alignment with that. And if they're not in alignment in all ways, then just filter out what you're going to learn from them to the things that do fit your vision. Because, man, there's a lot of crap out there, a lot of garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people who are out there teaching and gurus and stuff. It'll teach you a path straight to misery.
Yeah.
So be careful who you learn from.
Yeah.
Well, we want to honor your time commitment. So, Sean, we're going to have to continue this another time, I think. But the... how can people get a hold of you and learn more about you and learn more about Leadership Boardroom and And also, can you just touch, is it just for entrepreneurs, or do you also say they work a corporate job? Is that possible?
Yeah, no. This is for everybody. I specialize in working directly with entrepreneurs, but vision is important for anybody. I don't care if you're a corporate, I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom. You need to have a vision for what kind of mom you want to be and you know, how you want that to look. And by the way, most moms don't have that either because they're so busy trying to provide for the kids that they don't ever sit and take the time to figure out what they want. And by the way, when they do, they feel selfish. But when they do, and they honor, they're better moms.
Yeah.
So it's like this stuff is important all over the place, you know. And you can say the same for stay-at-home dads or whatever. I'm just saying, you know, this stuff is important all over the place. So what I was going to say is why don't I just give your people a gift and then they can decide if they want to use it or not. I have three things that I'll give them. The wheel of life, the wheel of business, some training on exactly how to implement them. And then there's another thing in there called the Unique Genius Zone that I'll share in there as well. But basically, all they got to do, go to leadershipboardroom.com/gift. And if they go there, they just click a button and you'll be able to download the training. There's a video right there on the page, I believe. And it'll give you guys some free training and resources that you can use. And, you know, great. If you like what you see, use it. If you don't, delete it. But these are tools. These are three tools that literally changed my life. And so if you'll implement them, they're really cool.
Let's wait to your stand by your motto, give first. So thank you. And yeah, we'll put that in the show notes so that people can click on that. And we appreciate this again. Anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. But we always love spending time with you and hanging out. We need to do this more often. But thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if there's everything we can deep dive into further, I'm happy to help you. If there's anything that resonates here with your audience or your people, I'm happy to go into more. I love this stuff. I'm so passionate about it today because I've seen it change people's lives. So thank you guys for doing what you do too. I appreciate it. I miss hanging out with you.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Thank you so much,
Sean. All right, we'll see you all. Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.